Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are continuing our series on Christ clutter in the calendar. This will be airing on the Tuesday, I believe, July the 30th, so the very end of the month. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're getting close to your final month of wedding preparation.
Right. Yeah, we are less than a month away. August 25th is the wedding date. And we are so enjoying every moment of preparation. It's been such a sweet summer working on it all together.
Yep. And I know that you and I were talking that because of the summer, being different, you actually, what you call, cleared your calendar.
Absolutely.
Talk because we're gonna kind of highlight that relative to the issue of the calendar, which is what we're trying to process. When you said clear your calendar, talk about what did that look like for you?
So a few months before before Anna came home from school, she got back the beginning of May. God really alerted me to this upcoming season, as when Anna would be coming home, that was going to be a season truly of readying the bride. And in that instruction also was included the idea of clearing my calendar, which we've talked about certain rhythms of time. I naturally tee things back up and ask him anyway, but he was very direct in this particular instruction for the summertime that I was to clear my calendar so that I could be fully present and engage in the moment, the season that he has in front of me. And so there were several things that I normally do that y'all, even prayer team, as much as I love prayer team, I have stepped off the schedule of that for the summer just because of the different bandwidth that it requires. And what else? My coffee shop volunteering. I let John know, you know, September I'll be back, but for this season I'm out. And so there were some things that literally were that. And then even my one-on-one discipleships, because Anna and I were car sharing for the summer, one-on-one discipleships, and she needs that to be able to go to her nannying and some different things too. I was like, you know, any one-on-one discipleships are going to happen at my house, at my pool, which is a joy.
Yeah, too. Why not? Right?
So absolutely. But that for me, because a lot of our church is a good 45 minutes away. And so a lot of the people that I spend time with one-on-one are 45 minutes to almost an hour drive from me. Mm-hmm. And so moving that to you guys come to me, or we'll bump till after the summer if that's not an option, you know. And I actually didn't even put the option of Zooming on the table. I felt like God said, no, it's, you know, it's this or it's not happening, and that's okay. Yeah. Be okay with that. And so really I have enjoyed the freedom of that. And incorporating, you know, there are things going on, and sometimes if some of those things can join in, you know, I love to go ride my bike, love to kayak. And so when those things are in and somebody can join me for that, we'll jump into that as well. But really, it was a lot of clearing my calendar and leaving significant margin so that Anna and I can not only do the planning we need to do and enjoy it and not feel rushed by it, but we have this margin for the incidental space, the enjoyment of the season of laughing together and the moments that happen off script, not doing things. And I think I shared with you, we've picked up pickleball together. It's a season that I feel like God has gifted me both of rest and restoration and of just enjoying what it looks like to prepare the bride.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the comment is that when we look at calendar, it's very dynamic. Mm-hmm. And there are seasons or times where there's a higher priority of something that God highlights, Mm-hmm. And again, as you work your calendar, the first goal is to find what we call your sweet spot, mm-hmm. that you're relaxed, your pace is good, you're not involved in too many things, you've found a place that is working for you and your spouse and your family and your work and your church and your small group. All of us working with the how it functions for how you function. And the key is once you find it, which, by the way, takes some time, mm-hmm. to be able to get to that place of finding it, then it's a matter of keeping it. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep it with the dynamic that's going on. So, like, for example, you said, well, I've got a unique scenario here this summer that is important to me. God's saying make it important and clear the right. deck. So right. I have to change what I'm doing to maintain your sweet spot.
Right.
It just happens to be involved in something different. And therefore, by definition, I have to stop doing other things.
Right. And I was going to say, interesting. I think I shared this several weeks ago when we were talking about this on the podcast, just with the calendar as well. But it was funny because even with that instruction, the first week of first 2 weeks, I would say even of the summer of this new schedule of me shedding certain things, I found I was running around like crazy.
Yeah.
And I had cleared certain things that were the big items that I thought he said to clear and hadn't realized that I wasn't done with the conversation, that there were other things he wanted me to clear and do differently. And so what I found is like my one-on-one discipleships, instead of, because I would normally have put them in at the coffee shop, or I would have put them into places that neatly fit when I was already down there and that sort of thing. And suddenly I had 20 different things going on all over. And I'm like, wait a second, this doesn't feel at all restful. It doesn't feel like I cleared the calendar. It feels like I got rid of a couple things and added 20 more.
Yeah.
Because my timing wasn't controlled. And so I had to take that to him again and kind of have a refining. So I kind of took what step one of the instruction and I didn't quite go all the way. Or I think about, as you say, we were in that passage recently that talks about him teaching, teach me, cause me to walk in your ways, teach me your paths, and that it's a process. And he was like, okay, you got part of it, but you didn't quite get it all. Do you right. see this?
That's right.
So we're going to go back to the drawing board and I'm going to fix this. And then as I stepped into the fullness of what he had, boy, has it been a joy.
Yeah.
There has been such rest. And I know I've shared this phrase before on here, but I love it. The phrase of the productivity of rest. And I feel like this has been a summer that is the productivity of rest.
Yeah.
And it is such a beautiful sweet spot, like you say.
Yeah. And it's the constant question is, am I relaxed? Do I have margin? Are things working? And do I have joy? And see you, and like you said, well, I received instruction. I started, but I recognized I wasn't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. I gotta go a little more, because you defined it as, I'm feeling still a little bit stressed, so something mm-hmm. is not right.
Right.
I got to keep going with this, and you did, and you do, and this is what we do as we approach it, is keep that in mind. Am I enjoying? Am I relaxed? Do I have margin? Given the new dynamic of what's going on, for you, it's a wedding. And here's something that everybody needs to understand is that, yes, you made a change. Mm-hmm. And that change involved a lot of different people.
Right.
That regularly you had things going on with.
Right.
Okay. You said
they were good things.
They were good things. Yeah. And you enjoyed them and they worked right. for you.
Right.
But with the new season, okay, by definition, whenever you add or increase something, God says, by definition, you have to take something off.
Right.
So it's not keep adding.
Right.
Because, I'll try to do it all, but then you would have got stressed out, and you wouldn't have enjoyed it. And by the way, you wouldn't have had the time that God wants you to have with Anna. And so when you told the people, hey, I'm not doing that with you this summer, what was the reaction?
Oh, completely supportive and understood. And even, you know, it, I think honestly, it was a freeing example for a lot of people also, that not only were they understanding and receiving of it, but they recognized a level of, wait a second, this is something you can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can say no, you can respond to clearing your calendar and allowing God to direct that. And there were good, great conversations on that. So I think it actually was, there was a leading by example in that.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what we need to understand, is that when people, you tell people, here's what I'm now doing. I'm going to spend my weekend with my spouse, or I've got a project at work, or I've got this new thing going on. I'm going to have to change what I'm doing with you. Their reaction is, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It's accepted. And think about how, and I was thinking about how I react when somebody says, I've got an appointment, let's say on Friday, and they call me up even Thursday and say, you know what, God, I've worked with God, and he said that well, I'm supposed to go take time off with my wife this weekend, so I can't meet with you tomorrow. We'll have to reschedule for next week, and I won't even call you until Monday or Tuesday to find out a reschedule.
Right.
My reaction is, oh, okay.
Right.
Sure. It doesn't bother me. And see, that's what we need to understand, is that people aren't bothered, particularly when you walk them through the truth of it and what you're up to and why you're up to it. And, you know, I can't do it this way any longer. And it's just a beautiful thing to keep reoriented your schedule. And God says, I need to give you your schedule. Don't be afraid of what other people are going to do. Interesting enough, you'll find out they don't mind.
Right.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry.
Right. And I think it's interesting as you say that, I think about the narrative that we can run in our mind, this imaginary narrative of how someone is going to respond to that. Right. And I will just highlight, if anybody is one of those who finds themselves, you know, I know God is telling me to X, Y, Z, but then you're running narratives in your mind as to how people are going to receive that. That is an indicator that you're walking in people pleasing rather than God pleasing.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a heart thing that God is revealing to you. When you see that imaginary narrative coming, that's an invitation to, okay, God, why is it that I am looking so much for the people pleasing rather than the God pleasing? Is there something in my heart, soul, or a wound or anything that is causing me to go that direction? And then bring that to truth and to light.
Yeah, particularly when we start to realize that people are very cooperative. We don't need to fear that. So I would just say the calendar is, it's very dynamic. You do have seasons. You do have special things you got to do. Don't be afraid of it, but keep working at it so that you don't keep adding things I'm going to spend this summer on a wedding, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You wouldn't have enjoyed any of it, interesting enough. And God says, you know, let me reorient your calendar and keep thinking of it all the time. And we've talked about the issue of the burdens that we carry when we're in trouble, we have adversity, we have things going on. We said that as we do that, we need to keep praying. Father, cause me to hear what you have to say about this. Guide me in your path to resolve it. Romans 8, you will resolve it. All things will work together for good. You're for me. Who's going to be against me? I can trust you that regardless of the situation or the severity of the situation, you're going to make it work out for good. You're going to make it work. And I just need to walk with you. And so when I believe that and experience it, when I have the trouble, which, by the way, you're always going to have, you are going to still be free of the heaviness of it because, well, this ought to be interesting. Boy, this is tricky. I don't see how this is going to work out, but I know God's going to.
I can release.
I don't need to spend all this anxiety about it because I'm not worried about outcome. I'm worried about the fact that he's going to resolve it. Okay, he makes another statement about this, specifically about trouble. Psalm 46:1-7. Psalm 46:1-7. And read that for us, and we'll see some interesting truth here.
Great. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolate, who has made desolations in the earth. He who makes war cease to the end of the earth, he who breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, he burns the chariot of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yep. So he starts out in saying, the Lord is a very present help in trouble. Okay, so again, as you understand that, it implies that you're going to have what?
That you will have trouble.
You're going to have trouble. See, and this is why you look at abiding in terms of what does it say, what doesn't it say. It doesn't say, I'll make sure you never experience trouble. It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. It says, in the middle of trouble, which you're going to have, and Jesus reiterated it. We talk about it all the time. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. Don't worry. It'll be there because you're in a world that's of trouble. Mm-hmm. But I'll be a very present help. And the word there is I'm currently right now going to walk you through the trouble. I'll resolve the trouble. So the help, and see, this is where the misinterpretation comes in. The help often is, well, just give me the ability to accept it.
Mm.
No. He says, right. I'm going to make all things work together for good, and that's why he uses the word things, the stuff of your issues. I'll resolve them. I will resolve them all. I'm a very present help. Here I am. Let's go. I'll resolve this in trouble right now. You can count on it. So if you believe that God's a very present help in trouble, what would you do?
You would go to him.
Well, instead of me worrying, fretting, and trying to figure it out, or just accepting it, and what we call go to resignation. Well, you know what? I'm gonna believe that. Let's go. I'm gonna go resolve it. And by the way, he describes in this scenario, he describes kind of the depth of this. So read verses 2, 3, and 4 here, or 2 and 3, just to he describes what kind of trouble we're in.
Yeah, it says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trouble.
It's saying that everything is falling apart and nothing is working and is completely upside, what I call upside down. That what I thought was stable, like I work with executives, and some of them wind up, you know, getting terminated or laid off. Because of the company, it's not doing well, or the owner comes in with a new manager, or your public company comes in with a new manager, and they just rock your world because, hey, by the way, and you weren't even expecting it. They just call you in and say, yeah, we made a decision, and you know you're going to be without your income here and your work. Well, that rocks your world. You know everything is changing. And this can happen all the time of, man, this is really the verb, the words here are just, it's unsettling. It's really not, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. He said, yeah, that's deep trouble. He said, but I'm a very present help. Trust me, I'll be your refuge and I'll deliver you. I'll make it work. Okay, then he gives this interesting statement in verse 4. And go ahead and read that, and then we'll kind of explore that a little bit.
There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High.
Okay. Well, we read that verse, and normally most people would say, what the heck is that? I don't know. I guess I don't know. I guess,
or keep reading because you don't quite understand it.
it's some lofty thing. I'll never understand it. And this is what's referred to in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, verse 14 particularly, is that the revelation of God is through the Holy Spirit, and you have to pursue it through the Spirit because it's spiritually received. He said if you stick to just the intellect, it'll become foolishness to you. And that is, I don't get this. I'll never get it. And then when you consider foolishness, primarily when we're in scripture and consider foolishness, we skip it.
Right.
We never pursue it further. It's like, whatever, you know. And you don't get to receive the revelation that God wants to receive. Mm-hmm. Particularly in this case, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it's very unsettling. Okay, good. God's a present help. Okay, good. He says, well, there's something deeper than that. I want you to understand. Verse 4. So in abiding in what we teach and what we've done is relate that now go pursue this and cross-reference that verse to understand what it is. Well, it leads us to Ezekiel. If you did that, your Bible would lead you, if you have a cross-reference Bible, it would lead you to Ezekiel 47. And so read Ezekiel 47, 1-9.
Sure. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other.
Keep going? Through 9, okay. Sorry.
Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes."
Yeah. So he's describing, you know, out of the temple area that there's a river that brings healing. Mm-hmm. There's a river that brings life. So that when God says, "I'm a very present help in trouble," what I'm going to bring to you is the source of life. I'm going to bring to you the source of healing, and you can trust it because it's my life being given to you, my healing being given to you. This is going to get resolved. And it's flowing from, and he uses the word temple here, from the source, which is God, the presence of God. So I'm a present help. I'm going to make this work.
Right.
I'm the source of life. I'm the place of life. Come to the temple, you know, come to where I am.
Right.
I'm with you. And all I need you to do is just turn and step into the kingdom. Let's go. Because remember, the kingdom of God is just a step away. The temple for us is just a step away. And so he says, it's really deep, not only will I resolve it, but I'm going to resolve the issue. And I think I talked about this yesterday with Linda's surgery and the question of, well, how come this happened? When we were so geared up for the big trip.
And so looking forward to the trip.
And it was going to be spectacular. And our family was all ready for it. And we loved doing it. And it's important to us to have great memories. And how come? So there's he said, well, I'll bring you healing. I will bring you life about this, you know, but come to me. And so not only am I going to resolve the issue, but I'm going to give you a understanding of it. I'm going to give you depth to it. I'm going to heal your soul as you do it. And trust me, what I'm all up to, which is more than just resolving the issue.
Right.
Because if we approach it just with that, our tendency is, "Hey, God, I got a problem. Take care of it." And he said, well, I'm up to a lot of things here. And this is where we understood it. He's going to make it work out for good. He's going to heal us. We don't yet know why or what. And there is a woundedness of, we don't understand this yet. I'll resolve it. He already resolved the eye problem. It's going to be healed. But I got to heal more of it because I'm up to something bigger than you think.
Right.
You know, let me show you that. So as we have trouble, the reason we can release it and not be burdened by it is that I am here. I'm going to resolve it. I'm going to bring you life. I'm going to bring you healing. Trust me. And let me be your refuge where you're safe and you will get resolution. And don't worry. You don't have to figure this out. But you also don't have to accept it as it's going to just be awful. Nope, it's going to be good. You know. And so as we get released from this very important thing of trouble, our minds don't have to go to the burden of it, but rather that we go to the release of it while we're experiencing it.
Right. And I love that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful truth that you're a very present help in trouble, that you're bringing a river from you of life, of healing, of refuge. We can trust it. And so we pray that this will give us the freedom to release the heaviness of it and begin to walk with you to receive your instruction and to receive the answers of both the resolution of the issue, but also the understanding of it and the depth of it so that our souls that are wounded about it are healed up. And we praise you and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Such a good conversation, Rich. Thank you for sharing today. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send us your questions at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.